almost through the life of Abraham. I've been studying that, obviously, for quite a while. But Genesis chapter number 24, we are talking about Abraham, and we saw the path of faith and the price of faith, the power of faith, the pledge of faith. Then we saw the pawning of faith, the potential of faith, the prayer of faith, the position of faith, the peril of faith, the prize of faith, the proof of faith, the patience of faith. And now, number 13 in chapter 24, we started last week, the precautions of faith. The precautions of faith. Again, I remind you that Genesis chapter 22 was the sacrifice of Isaac. And Abraham's son, his only son, which was a picture of the great sacrifice that our God, our Heavenly Father, would make in sending his son. Of course, God stayed the hand of Abraham and said Abraham's words, or what the picture's all about, that God would provide himself a sacrifice. Then you get to chapter 23, and Abraham's wife Sarah passes away. And again, at the end of chapter 22, we are introduced to the bride, very briefly, who would become the bride. Again, I hope you're taking a big look, step back, and see it all. These three chapters are just, they're glorious. That one day God the Father would send his son. Christ died for the church. He gave himself for the church. There can be a bride because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel's relationship with God the Father would be put away. And we will be introduced now to the bride here in the obtaining of the bride. We talked about the wise sojourner, and we saw that how Abraham was a faithful father in verses 1 through 9, a fighting father, a foreseeing father, a forewarning father, and a fearless father. And so we saw a wise sojourner. We're going to pick up in verse number 10 and see a wonderful servant, a wonderful servant. As we look at these verses, I want you to keep that picture in your mind and understand. Sarah has died. Israel and its relationship with God has been put away. And the son has been sent to be that sacrifice there at the cross in chapter 22. And now in this chapter, a wonderful servant is sent to prepare a bride. I believe this servant in this passage of reading is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, who was sent. The Lord said when, after the payment was done upon the cross, that he would leave, but would not leave us without a comforter. And the Holy Spirit would be sent. For these past 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been at work in convicting and pointing people to the Lord. And he still does that today. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God and his conviction. But keep that in mind as you read these verses. Let's start reading in verse number 10. of chapter number 24. It says in verse number 10, "And the servant took 10 camels and camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou has showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew for all of his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Let's pray. God, again, speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, through the reading and now the preaching of your word. I pray that my words would be guided by you, and would help us to see what you'd have for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See here the wonderful Savior. I believe, again, Again, his name's not mentioned in this chapter, but in chapter 15, Abraham's servant is mentioned as Eleazar. Most people, including myself, assume that this is Eleazar whom he has sent. They make a promise to one another that Eleazar would go, and we see him leaving in verse number 10. So let's look at this wonderful servant. Number one, with this wonderful servant, I see that he was commissioned with God's task, or commissioned with a task. And I say, I'm going to put, God in these points, because I want you to see the Holy Spirit did the same thing. The Holy Spirit was given a duty from the Lord too. But in verse number 10, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. So he was commissioned with a great task. Task from his master to go and to find this bride. We've already talked about Abraham said, do not allow my son to marry any of the Canaanites, and my son is not to go to this land. She is to come to him. And so the servant is sent, and he is commissioned to do this. In verse number 10, in verse number 11, you see he came by direction. And I believe the Holy Spirit came by God's direction. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to come to this earth. And he's sent with direction. At the end of verse number 10, he's told exactly where to go. Verse number 11, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He came to where he should go. He came to where the women would go out and draw the water. The Holy Spirit was sent to this world because that's where we are. I'm thankful that Christ Jesus came to this world. We could not get to where he was, but as the song is sung, he came to me. Amen. And I'm thankful for the Lord, thankful for the Holy Spirit. But you see, he came by direction. Then you see, he called for God's help. In verse number 12, when he gets there, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw, and let it come to pass. And so now he talks to God, and he asks for God's help. He knows that God is full of mercy. You see his tender mercy in verse number 12. He says, I know you're a kind God. But then he gives God this test. I do not recommend, in the age in which we live, that we're constantly asking God for tests, or fleeces, as they're called, or signs. A lot of people do that. I hear preachers, pastors, old and young, everything from, whether I should go here or there or this mission field or that. I just, from studying the scriptures, I just want to warn to be careful about that, because the devil's a deceiver. And I know God did that in the Old Testament. And God used some signs in the New Testament with tongue speaking and things when people heard the gospel in their own language. Some healing in the New Testament, even after the Lord ascended, there was some healing there. But those things were for the Jews to see that this was of God. And all those gifts went away when we had the Word of God. And those gifts are not here. And Jesus said these words in the New Testament, that it is a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeketh after signs. And so be careful. Say, I want to know if I should take this job or not. May the first car I pass this morning be a red car if you want me to take this job. You better be careful, because the devil can send a red car just as easy as the Lord. You say, well, I want to know from God. Pray. And been doing a lot. But pray, and God will give you peace. God will speak to you through His Word. God will speak through direction. Just be careful. You know, should I marry this person or not? Oh, don't rely upon signs. God said, the Lord said, a wicked and evil, adulterous generation. So, but in the Old Testament, a little bit different, all right? Gideon did signs, other people did. God did not condemn it. And so here, this servant says, all right, I'm going to go where the ladies come out to get the water to drink. And then he says, God, I'm going to ask, when I feel you leading me, I'm going to ask the young lady to give me a drink. And may she give me a drink. Now that would be not too far-fetched. Probably most of the ladies that would have come to the well would have done that. But he adds this second part. He adds to this, not only will she give me a drink, but then she will say, all right, he's not going to bring it up, but she is going to say, go ahead and drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. She's not only going to give me a drink, but God, she will voluntarily want to give water to all my camels, which according to verse number 10, he had 10 camels. And according to science, every camel after a long trip, which this would have been, each camel can drink 5 gallons of water, which would have meant that this lady not only gave him a drink, but would have poured in this trough somewhere around 50 gallons of water out of a well. This would have been very special. This would have been very unique. And what the servant was asking was God to do something very much out of the ordinary. This lady, obviously, if she did something like this, would have quite the servant's heart. She would have a heart for people, a heart to show, you know, a kindness to them. And that was the kind of person that obviously the servant felt would be a good wife. Not because she did stuff, all right, because her heart, all right, understand that, all right. But it would have been her heart. Her heart would want to do this. So you see that he called for God's help. Then you see number four, there was a confirming of God's answer. Verse number 15, and I've already read it, so you kind of glance at the verses while I talk. Verse number 15, you see the provision of God. It says there, before he had done speaking. So he is still praying to God. He's still giving his test to God. What he didn't know is God had already sent her coming. Amen. Isn't it awesome? God knows our needs even before we do. It's awesome, isn't it? But while he's speaking, God has provided an answer to his prayer. So the provision of God in verse number 15, she comes. Verse number 16, you see a present from God. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Obviously, here she comes, and he is watching. And as she approaches, she dips into the well. She fills her pitcher with water. And again, you could almost, to me, when I read this and study it, you can see Eleazar, his heart start pounding a little bit, right? Could this be the one? I mean, this is, as far as we know, the first person to walk up, because she starts walking up while he's still praying. I mean, he's like, and God, may she fill the pitcher up and then offer to give all the camels something to drink. Amen. And he looks up and she's standing there. That's awesome, right? And, you know, he probably looks at her, makes eye contact, and probably something in him said, there she is. And he sees this in verse number 17 to 20. You see the proof from God. The proof from God. So she, obviously, in verse 16, she's a pure young lady. She was an honorable young lady. And in verse number 17, you see the proof that God provides. The servant ran to meet her. I told you he was excited, all right? He didn't just make his way over. He saw her, and God said, go, and he went quickly. He ran to meet her, and he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. So he's keeping everything according to plan. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. So exciting. Right. You know, I love reading this. You know, if you like good stories with excitement, this is it. You know, I love the passage I read in Sunday school this morning when the prophet was sent to go anoint Jehu to be the king. As soon as he walked in, all the other three generals that were with Jehu, they were like, what's this crazy guy want? And he goes in a room with Jehu. Jehu walks out. He's been anointed. And they said, what in the world? What did he want? And they said, well, you know what kind of guy he is. He's one of the prophets. Oh, we know him. They said, he's crazy. And whatever he said, it's not true. It's false. And Jehu said, well, he said, I was to be the next king of Israel. And they said, glory to God. That's what they said. They're like, yes. And they laid down their clothes and started blowing trumpets and said, we love God's word. You know, a lot of people are, right? You know, we're like, you know, this is all crazy until we need it. Until all of a sudden it fits in our life, and then we think it's great. We don't have a convenient Bible. We have a true Bible that we need to follow at all times. But in any case, I get excited about it because I can see him sitting there, and he walks up there, and he goes, he's probably nervous. You know, I would have been. And he's sitting there, and he goes, could I have a drink of water? And the Bible says there that, verse 18, she said, drink, my Lord. And all of a sudden, he's probably like, oh boy. Okay, so the first part's done. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, as she opened her mouth, can you not feel the excitement in Eliezer right now? I mean, she's like, and he's probably like, oh no. Right? I mean, come on, read the Bible. It's exciting, right? She probably raises that hand and goes, how about I give water to all your camels too? I mean, he's just like, yes, right? She probably thought he was a little weird how excited he got about her giving water to the camels, right? I mean, he probably tried to control himself. He probably was like, oh, that would be great. Yeah, right? I don't know, but he, you know, she did this. And she gives all the camels this water. The Bible says she hasted. I think there's something in that right there too. She was a hard worker. Whenever she found the task, she did it with all of her might. She emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water. Apparently, 50 gallons is a lot of water. Probably several trips. I don't know how big a container she had, but I can't imagine it being a 50-gallon container. All right. But in any case, she drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her. Now I'm getting a vision. As she's getting those last few gallons, don't you see him? Wondering. You know what that means in the Greek? Yeah. I mean, he can't believe this. He's wondering at it, but he can't hardly talk. He just holds his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He's, in his mind, he's saying, is this really it? Because isn't it amazing sometimes we pray for things and God does it, but we just can't believe he did it? Right. You know, we all like, why? What's his problem? We've all done that. We pray for things, God does it, and you're just like, well, that was too easy, right? That, can this really be? Well, yes, all right? God is answering this prayer. So you see, he's confirmed his answer. You see the provision of God in verse 15, the presence of God in verse 16, the proof from God, verse 17 to 20, and the peace of God in verse number 21. All of a sudden, this servant knew. And I'm thankful when you stop and think about that, how the Holy Spirit came. But praise the Lord, before the foundation of the world, God knew we'd have a need. And the provision of God is there, the gift from God, the present from God. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The proof of God is the great love that God has for us. And praise God, when you accept him, you enjoy the peace of God. Praise the Lord for those things. Number five, you see, there was a covering with God's goodness, or a covering with goodness. In verses 22 to 25, it says, it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And when he said that name, he knew. This is Abraham's family. Right. Oh, man. But you see, again, he takes these gifts. And he gives Rebecca these gifts. And I'm thankful that the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. God has been good to every one of us. And even before we were saved, God's goodness was in our life. We won't know probably till we get to heaven the amount of times that God protected us. God watched over us. God provided for us because he's a great God. You see, he's covered. There was a covering with God's goodness. She's now has all this jewelry upon her and these gifts. Verse 26 to verse 28, you see, is consumed with God's praise. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. So he begins to praise God and worship the Lord. God answered his prayer. What a blessing. So you see this wonderful servant, and then you see in verses 29 to 33, this a worldly sinner. Now don't get scared. It's just a rehearsing of everything that has already happened. So some of you are just like, there's a lot of verses left. It's going to be okay. Amen. Should only be like 45 more minutes, so we're good, all right? I'm kidding, all right, maybe. A worldly sinner, verse 29 to 33. First of all, I want you to see, now we're going to focus on Laban here. A worldly sinner, I want you to see his focus. Verse number 29. And Rebekah had a brother. Now this guy's, he's going to be back in the story of Genesis later. But he had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man and to the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelet upon his sister's hands, the first thing that caught his attention. Oh, yeah. You got some bling, right, Brother Sutherland? Yeah, all right. I love that you said that. Oh, yeah, all right. There's some bling, man. And he's like, he goes, "Where did you get that?" Right? And she tells her brother about this man that came. And so he's excited. He runs out there to meet this man. You see his focus, and then you see his flattery. Verse number 31 says, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." You know, he starts with some flattery. He calls him, "Thou blessed of the Lord." He's still staring probably at the gold. But come in. You don't need to be out there. Come in with us. And you see his flattery. Then you see his favor in verse 32 to 33. The man came into the house and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender to the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, "I will not eat until I've told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." His favor, by the way, the lost world, they will be focused upon the temporary, the gold, the silver. A lost world will have a focus on the sensual. And be careful, because the lost world's really good at flattery. And be careful, because the lost world will show you he gave them some luxuries, some things to eat. Basically, come in, eat, drink, and be merry. And they offered him all this. And I like this, what the servant said. He said, "I'm not eating anything until we talk." He had a different task. Remember this, we're not here just to party with the world. We're here for a higher purpose. And what we're doing even tonight is more important than anything else going on in the world. And when we talk to souls, it's more important than anything else that goes on in the world. And be careful to our young men and young ladies. Because the lost sinner, the worldly sinner, will try to get you focused on the wrong things. But to our young ladies, I want to say this real quick. Our young ladies in our church are very desirable to a lost world. You have character. You're pure. You're wonderful young ladies. And I mean that to all of our young ladies sitting in this auditorium. And I thank you. Don't let the world pull you away. They'll flatter you. They'll try to talk you into things. Don't listen to them. Be careful. You see a willing saint. A willing saint. The worldly sinner, now you see a willing saint. I'm talking about Rebekah. Verses 34 all the way down to verse number 61. And again, just some simple thoughts real quick, but I want you to see that she was not focused on the gifts. She was focused on the giver. As we read this, it's all about really one question. This is all turns towards Rebekah, and the servant's going to rehearse these sayings. But the question's in verse number 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Because, understand this, I believe he's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he will shower us with the goodness of God. He'll tell us the story of God. He'll point us to the Lord and to the Son. But he will not force. He will not coerce. And it is a choice that every one of us have to make, whether we will accept the Lord or not. There'll be no high pressure. All the facts were just presented. Now it's up to her. And I want you to understand, getting way ahead of ourselves, but verse number 58, she said, "I will go." That wasn't an easy thing to say. Now, we all know the story, and we know how it worked out. We're like, this is awesome. But she could have said no and had a lot of reasons to say no. I mean, let's just be really practical. I still Hope's 13. She's down in Florida, and somebody knocked on my door and came in. I don't care what kind of bracelets they had. Hey, I want to take her over. I know you've never met our family, and you've never met this man. I know you know nothing about him. But can she go be his bride? No. Not a chance, right? Not a chance. But she had learned a lot about him, and I believe, obviously, the Lord was in this. But she could have said no. She could have said, how do I even know this is true? How did she even know there was a son, right? Think of what all she gave up. Her home, her life. A lot of reasons for, a lot of excuses. But she chose to go. And she chose to give her heart to this one. Listen to me. Who she had only heard about. Who she'd only seen. Never seen. Only got to see the gifts and the blessings. And we're all in the same boat. Aren't you glad for that day? You said yes. Amen. But I just give you this, and we'll wrap this up. In verses 34 all the way down to verse number 57, she learned of Isaac. And it's going to rehearse a lot of what we've already read. It kind of, the servant's telling the same story that we've already read to Rebecca's family. But as she's sitting there, she's listening. And you can see in verse number 34, she learns all about the Father. She learns about the Father. He said, "I am Abraham's servant." The first thing she's introduced to, and the family's introduced to, is the Father. In the beginning, God. There is a Creator. There is a God who loves us. But she learned of the Father. Then she learned of her father's house, of his father's house. Verse 35 talks about the blessings of the father's house. Then in verse number 36, she learns about the son's coming, how that Sarah had, when she was of old age, had this son. And then in verse number 37 and verse 41, she learns about the father's desire, how the master sent me, Abraham sent, to find this bride. Verses 42 to 52, she learns of God's provision. Now he rehearses exactly how he prayed and how God answered the prayer directly, exactly how he asked God to do it. I can only imagine, again, as he's going through that, how Rebecca is just sitting there in awe now. Remember how Eleazar, we think, was sitting there with his mouth open? I can imagine she was. She's probably like, "I didn't know." Right? Wow. She could see God's hand in this. And then they all learned of the father's generosity. Verses 53 down to verse 57, the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning. He said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." You see the father's generosity. They give all these gifts. And he says, now it's time to leave. So you see, he learned of Isaac, verses 34 to 57. She learns all this, but now you see that she longed for Isaac. verse number 58, he says, I need to go now. And they said to Rebekah in verse 58, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, I already told you she had all the excuses in the world not to go. But she chose to go because she learned about this one whom she had never seen. And she had learned so much about him, listening about his father and his father's house and the task that was sent and how provisions was going to be made, that she came to a point where she not only learned about him, but she longed for him now. Can I tell you something? That's why the Holy Spirit is here today. He introduces us to God. He introduces us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the teacher of the Word of God. And then we choose to say, I will receive him. Praise the Lord. And the more you learn about him, the more you long to see him. And I believe that's what you see here. She sat there and listened to all this, and now she longed to see him. So they leave. Verse number 59, they leave, and they head that way. She's longing more and more. That trip, you can only imagine that the longer that she made her path towards the sun, the more she longed to meet him. Because as they were traveling, I'm sure the questions were this, right? What's he like? And I think the servant had great joy in telling her what he's like. What's he look like? Is he kind? Is he compassionate? Is he thoughtful? And the whole way there, the servant kept telling her more and more about Isaac. And the more they talked, the more excited she got to where we get to this in verse number 64 and 65. She learned of Isaac, she longed for Isaac, and now she looked for Isaac. Verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Now she looked for him. By the way, he was coming for her. He's coming for us one day. Praise the Lord for this. The longer she went on that journey, and the closer she got to the end of that journey, the more that she looked forward to meeting him. Because the more she learned about him, the more she longed for him. And the closer she got to the end of this journey, the more she kept lifting up her eyes. And probably, I'd say they saw a few other people. Is that him? No. Who's that? The people would have been out their own business, but all of a sudden, there's someone heading right towards him. And the servant said, there he is. Oh, the joy that would have filled her heart. What a day that will be. Amen. Keep in mind, the servant, I believe, a picture of the Holy Spirit. Listen, on that trip, from the time she said yes until she met the Son, he would guide her, he would guard her, and he would give her all the knowledge she would need about the Son one day. The Holy Spirit does the same work in our life. He helps guard us, he will guide us in this life, and he will teach us and give us knowledge about the Son. Excited about it. So you see here the willing saint, Rebekah, and we close with this in verse 62, down to the end of the chapter, the waiting son. The whole time, the son was waiting for his bride in the presence of his father. You ought to get a little bit excited about that. Amen? He had been to Mount Moriah. The work was done. The sacrifice was made. The bride was called by another, and now he waits with the Father until the time appointed. And one day, Abraham probably got news. They're just around the corner. Son, go get your bride. Isn't that awesome? So what was he doing? Verse 62, this is interesting. He was preparing a place. Look at verse 62. Isaac came from the well from the way of the well of where? Leorali, right? For he dwelt in the south country. What's he doing down there at Leorali? Look at chapter 25 and verse number 11. Came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Leorali. What was he doing down there by the well? He's preparing a house. Isn't that awesome? Come on, you got to get a little excited, right? He's preparing a house, right? And after Abraham died, he went down to that house that he had prepared for him and his bride. Isn't that awesome? Come on, think spiritually. It's awesome, right? Place prepared. In verse number 63, you see a passion portrayed. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He went out there at nighttime. He's looking, and all of a sudden, he sees them heading that way. He probably counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He left with 10. They're coming. You see, he is excited about this, and he makes his way out to meet them. We already read 64 and 65. And then you see a perfect partner in verse number 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. He says, well, you're not going to believe this story, Isaac. And he tells him all about what had happened. The bride is presented to the son. And then you see a peace that is provided in verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So what's that all about? Again, a beautiful picture. Rebekah was not Sarah. They were different entirely. The church is not Israel. They are different entirely. But just as Rebekah was brought into the position formerly occupied by Sarah. You follow me? So the church is brought into position as being the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, what's going on right now? A place has been prepared for us. Amen. God's love and his passion is being shown to us. The Holy Spirit is doing his perfect work. And someday, what a day that will be. The bride will be presented to the bridegroom. It's going to be a great day. Let's pray. Father,